2 Timothy chapter 1 today, we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Last year, for my family and I went to the States, we sort of took a break from the book of 2 Timothy. And in that book, Paul is sharing with us his last words. He knows he's getting ready to die. He knows that his end is close. And he's writing to Timothy because he loves Timothy. He wants to prepare Timothy for that time that he doesn't have him. Now, if you have all your family if you have your mom and dad, for example, and you have a good relationship with them, when they pass away, it leaves a hole. And Paul understands that the relationship that he has with Timothy is like that. It's that close relationship. And he's trying to tell everything he can to Timothy to prepare him for the last days and also for the time where he's not going to be there. How do we fare when those that love us, those that support us, those that expect us to do the right thing aren't around us? Well, here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's where we'll be looking mostly today. We have Paul's last words, and throughout this book, there's three constant themes. The first one is suffering. Time and time again, the Apostle Paul, and it's primarily for the gospel's sake, for being a Christian, but it includes other relationship problems, especially in chapter 4, verse 5 and 10. And so, suffering is one of the major themes throughout this book. Truth and the importance of it, and the importance of us not putting our fingers in our ears and saying, oh, I know better than that. Us being willing to obey God's word and listen to it and value it and pass it on to the next generation. That's what Paul was about. He was about passing truth on to the next generation. And then right living. Paul understood that suffering really should not drive us away from the Lord. It should drive us to the Lord. Truth should drive us to the Lord. Yes, truth can be dry, but truth is what gives us a foundation to live our lives on. And so with these themes in mind, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And really, I want us to look at one particular verse for a while today. And that verse is this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First thing I want you to notice is the picture of this verse. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus. And it's not a, kind of being strong. It's not a, I'm bigger than you, I'm faster than you, I'm better than you. The idea is you be strengthened. It's a us being strengthened. You know, I brought these with me, and this is the idea. Have you ever, and I must have, I have done this, I've wondered why the toaster wasn't working? Yep, I did. I was wondering why the toaster wasn't working once. And I had it plugged on, plugged in, but it didn't have the power on. And I was, you know, I was just trying to figure out. And you know, I finally did figure it out and finally got my piece of toast. But these kind of things, they need electricity. I've got a blower at home that uses a battery. And they have that power that goes through them, that gives them the ability to do those things that they're supposed to be doing. Well, that's actually the idea of that word, the be strong. You let God's power flow in you, through you, and control you, and He'll help you live for Him. He'll help you live for Him. In fact, just some other verses that this word, be strong, and the idea is to be strengthened, okay? That's the idea. Some other times it's talking about it, for it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's the one working in us, challenging us, encouraging us, strengthening us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let His power, and you know those verses, that's the armor of God. That's our weapons against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says there that we are to be strong in the Lord. Let the Lord's strength flow in us and through us. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21 say, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the mighty power, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. It's His power working in us. Well, I cannot get along with this person. I just can't get along with this person. I've worked 5 years with them, and we just don't get along. Well, whose power are you trying to do it in? being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is working in us. So the plea is the fact when he says to us, you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The picture is that, you know what, we're not going to be strengthened without the Lord's energy working in us and through us, without the Lord working in us. And then the plea. Notice what this verse says. First of all, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice that this is a personal plea. This is a personal plea, and I'm not going to get too technical with you, but I do want to get a little bit technical. This word here, be strong, Greek words, they come with them. It's understood. They tell you what, how many, whether it's a you or a they or an I, just in the word itself. For example, it's just understood. Sort of like here, please tell Bob hello. Who's that talking to? You. Please tell Bob hello. You. Meet me at Stockland, Big W, at 3 p.m. Please don't do that. Please pass the salt. What's the understood subjects of all these? You know, it's understood. We understand that there's that you thing going on there. Well, when he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the fact that he throws that thou in, that you, that's on top. He's really emphasizing the fact that he wants Timothy to be strengthened in his inner man. And this is a command. Paul is saying to Timothy, you be strengthened. Paul was concerned about Timothy. He wanted to see him do well. He wanted to see him grow. Second thing I want you to notice is that this plea is pungent. A little unfamiliar with that word, or actually I am familiar with it, but I don't use it that often. Notice that this plea is pungent. In other words, there's some remorse going on. There's some regret going on. He says, thou therefore. Now, he uses the word therefore. And what have we learned, or what we know? When you see the word therefore, you wonder, you have to go back. Why? When he says, thou therefore, be strong. What is he referring to? What is he sending us back to? Timothy, I want you to be strong in the Lord, even though some others weren't. I want you to be faithful to the Lord. I want you to keep your eyes on Christ. I want you to keep walking with Him, even if your best friend, even if the people that you've grown up with, even if your family don't want to follow the Lord, and his family did follow the Lord, at least his mom and grandma. Even if they don't follow the Lord, you follow the Lord. He sees that Timothy knows those people who have walked away. He knew those people who had left Paul. And he says, Timothy, you know what? Just because those people aren't walking for the Lord right now, don't let that affect you. You make sure you keep walking for the Lord. And may I ask you this morning, will you let someone else's failure to walk with the Lord keep you from walking with the Lord? Will you let what they do, I just don't have time for God? It costs too much. It's just too much trouble. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to do the church thing. Are we willing to do that? Well, Paul says, Timothy, you know what? Watch your heart. The second thing he says, we going back a little bit further in the chapter, for the therefore, he said, Timothy, I know you suffer from some fear. I know you have some anxiety issues, and whether it's that you're embarrassed because I'm in prison, or when other people tell you, I don't believe what you believe. Timothy had some problems with fear, with timidity. Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You be strong in the Lord. You be strong in the Lord. And even if others go away, even if others make fun, or even if they give you a hard time, keep focused, keep following the Lord. Not only that, but this plea is passionate. This plea is passionate. Now, I have a son and two daughters. One daughter is with the Lord. But when I read this verse, I understand where Paul is coming from. He wants Timothy. He knows that the best thing for Timothy is what? Is for Timothy to follow the Lord with all his heart. Timothy pleads with his son in the faith, Timothy, don't you get sidetracked. Don't you go away from the Lord. It'll break your heart. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Timothy, keep following the Lord. Keep following the Lord. As your father, as your spiritual father, please, I beg you, please, keep following the Lord. In fact, he says in the second verse of the book, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now we know that Paul was not Timothy's proper dad. Timothy's dad was probably not even a Christian. But Paul had a lot to do with this young man's salvation. Paul had a lot to do with this man growing in the Lord. And his plea is for Timothy. Timothy, you be strong in the Lord. What's our pleas? What's our passion for our kids? Do we want them, first of all, to know Christ as Savior? What about even our family or our close friends? What's our passion for them? Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is that our passion? Paul wanted to see Timothy keep following the Lord because it was the best path. And really, if our family do well in business, okay, good, that's fine. If they do well in relationships, that's good, that's fine. And their health is good, that's fine. But it's that relationship with the Lord. It's that putting Him first that we most should be praying for. That we most should want. For ourselves first. And then for them. Notice that this plea, this command is also practical. It's also practical. He says, thou therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is God's grace? I know it's His unmerited favor, but in a wider context, it's God's ability that He gives us, that He strengthens us with, that enables us to do whatever we need to be doing. There's dying grace, there's living grace, there's grace that says, Lord, help me to apologize to my wife today for something I said. There's grace that will help us be humble. There's grace that will help us be bold. It's practical. It's right where we live. He says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He gives us the grace that we need for every day. Notice again, talking about this grace, and he's mentioned this grace from the beginning of the book, the middle of the book, and now at the end of the book, he says, may the grace of God be with your spirit. When Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He knows that God's grace can meet whatever need he has. And then this grace is proven. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, Paul had a lot of experience in this grace. 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our wonderfulness, but according to His own mercies and grace. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. First of all, His strength will help us with our past. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. That's the word, that word enabled. That's the word strengthened. He strengthened me for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He strengthened me. Well, what is the verses around those? Well, Paul says, you know what? I was there when Stephen was killed. I held everyone's coats. You know, he never got over that. But he knew God could forgive him. You know, it takes God strengthening us to help us get past some things that have happened in our past. God's strength can. He can help us. Notice, it helps us with our new situations. Paul gets gloriously saved, and the Lord has dealt with him about who Jesus is, and he goes into the temple and he starts sharing the gospel. He increased the more in strength. That's our word again. He was strengthened. The Lord helped him with the new situation, with the new things that he was facing, with sharing the gospel. The Lord can give the grace that we need, the strength that we need to do the new things that we need. His strength will help when no one else is there to help. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. The verse before that says that no one else stood with him. If you ever feel alone, if you ever feel unloved, if you ever feel alone, and you're a child of God, you are a believer, you are a Christian, don't believe it that you're alone. And it really does come down to us trusting Him that He's there. He says, the Lord stood with me. And did He just see, look over and, oh, hey, Lord? No. But he knew the Lord was that real to him. And He is. He strengthens us when no one's else there to strengthen us. To say, keep going, keep going. That's what the Lord's doing. The Lord's there to help with everything that's happening all day. I know we usually just use this verse as a coverall. You go back to it, and the verses around it, and it's talking about, I know how to abound, I know how to be going well, and I know how to be abased. I know how to handle things. I've learned these things. I've learned to, when everything's going against me, I keep trusting. When everything's going good, I keep trusting. Paul says, you know what? His strength is able to help me. His strength can help when we just don't see a way. There were there in Hebrews 11, you have those people that live by faith. Their armies were surrounded by tons and tons and tons of bigger armies. And the Lord gave the victory. They didn't see a way forward. Well, tell me how a 99-year-old man, he and his 90-year-old wife are going to have a baby. The writer of Hebrews says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you know this lady? Her name is Joni Erickson Tada. When she was 14, she trusted Christ as Savior. And our theme this morning is being strong in the Lord. When she was 19, she was swimming. And she jumped off into the water. And the water was shallow. And she ended up breaking her back and neck and other things. And she became a quadriplegic. 19, a believer in Christ. What strength would it take for that? She says, I always thought that God was good, but here I am, a quadriplegic, sitting in a wheelchair, feeling more like his enemy than his child. Didn't he want to stop my accident? Could he have? Was he even there? Maybe the devil was there instead, she said. And then someone shared with her, listening to this, someone shared with her some words that, based on Scripture, that changed her life. This fellow said to her, in listening to her heart as she spoke, God permits what He hates to accomplish what He loves. She said those words based on Scripture, and we'll get to the Scriptures in a minute, those words based on Scriptures changed her life. Lamentation 3, 32 and 33 says, but though He calls grief, God's causing, He's allowing the grief. Yet He will have compassion according to the multitudes of His mercies, for He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. When we are being afflicted, when we are going through difficulties and troubles, when she dove and broke her neck, God didn't say, He didn't laugh. And of course we wouldn't, but God didn't laugh. Did He allow it? Could he have kept her from doing it? Numbers 35:11 gives us some verses that are, and the next one gives us some verses that are sort of beyond my pay grade. It says, then you shall appoint your cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unaware. Somebody in the Old Testament law, Jewish person, killed someone, they could go to one of the special cities and be protected if they didn't do it on purpose. But that same incident, that fella didn't do it on purpose, watch. And if a man lie not in wait, but God delivers him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. So you didn't do it on purpose, but God allowed this person to be killed by accident. How do you balance those? I like what one fellow said. He said, "Welcome to the world of finite people trying to understand an infinite God. What is clear is that God permits all sorts of things He does not approve of. He allows others to do what He would never do. He didn't steal Job's camels or entice the Chaldeans to seize Job's property. Yet God didn't take His hand off the wheel for a nanosecond." The writer told Joni, he says, "God put you in that chair, Joni. I don't know why, but if you will trust Him instead of fighting Him, you will find out why, if not in this life, then in the next." Instead of fighting against God, we say, "You know what, God? I'm going to be strengthened by You. And Lord, whatever You allow to come my way, I'm going to trust You with. I'm going to use Your strength. I'm going to, by Your grace, go forward." Colossians 1:11, this is our word again, "strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." What's the key to that? Now let's go back a couple of verses. Paul's praying that they will be strengthened with all might. Now let's go back. "For this cause, since we've heard of your love in the Spirit, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." How is it that we can be strengthened on the inside? Is it us working up, "I can do this, I can do this, I can do this"? Well, it's our believing Him that He's working in us. That He's given us His Word, the knowledge of God. We can know about Him. And if He wants me to do something, and it's His will for me to do something, and He said that He would strengthen me, I have to trust Him. That's His working in me. I'm believing His Word. I'm believing Him. Strengthened with all might. Sometimes say to people that I have the opportunity to lead to the Lord, and I don't mean this irreverently at all. You know Romans 10:9? "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And I say, you know what? One day I stand before the Lord and He starts to say, you got to go to hell. You didn't do it right, or you didn't say it right. Or you didn't do enough. I'm going to say, but your word says that if I trust Your Son as my Savior, understanding that my sin separates me from God, and that yes, I deserve to go to hell without Your Son, but I've believed in Your Son, Jesus, that He died on the cross. And because I've believed Your Word, there's no way I can go to hell. There's no way. Now, I don't mean that to be irreverent, because God wouldn't argue with you because you believed His Word. But you know what? It just comes down to that. Being strengthened by the inner man. So, 14 words that might change your life. Counted them. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you something this morning. Whose strength are you depending on each day? Whose strength are you depending on each day? Will you let Him have His way in your life? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this wonderful verse. that you want to strengthen us. You want to work in us by your mighty power. And Father, you're able to help with everything. So Father, will you please help us to commit our hearts to you, to allow you to strengthen us each day. We trust you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for working in us. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts this day. If you're here this morning and you've not trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to see you trust Christ as your Savior. That would be the best thing in the world. Christians, has the Lord spoken to your heart about a way that you need to let the Lord strengthen you through His Word? I hope that if the Lord speaks to you in any way, that you won't let that fall away, but that you'll obey Him and do what He wants, not just today or tomorrow, but commit to His strength through this week. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts. Will you speak to us and help us to know you better? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.